You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, hoops heads. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. It's good to be back after a nice Thanksgiving holiday and a beautiful weekend here in the Bay Area. I'd say it's unseasonably warm, but apparently it's just going to get warmer and warmer forever. So I'll take it for now. As usual, you can find my writing at Forbes.com and BleacherReport.com. You can also tweet me at Kogitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, and I'll get back to you. I always do. For today's podcast, I'm going to start with recaps of the games against Chicago and New Orleans. That was a home back-to-back, very peculiar, but two really interesting games to watch. In the second segment, we'll revisit that OKC beatdown and talk injuries. And in the third segment, I'll get a little personal and talk about the Warriors' move to San Francisco and how it's going to affect the city of Oakland, my home. But as I said, we're going to start with the two games over the weekend, over the holiday weekend, and we'll start with Chicago. The Warriors ripped off a season-high 143 against Shy and won by 49. It was the perfect game to bounce back from that OKC loss. Chicago only has three wins, and they're not good offensively or defensively. So, honestly, it was the first full 48 we've seen from the Dubs this season. They put on a second-quarter show. In the third quarter, they kept it going and really just made it a complete an utter barn burner. Quick note on Chicago, though. I really like Lauri Markkanen. He's got some work to do on defense, but he's got a nice outside game. He was 4 of 16 in this one and a minus 37, which when you lose by 49, I guess isn't that bad. But he was 3 of 8 from 3, and he's not afraid to take them. So it's really exciting to see him kind of bud his unicorn horn a little bit. But back to the Warriors, a few injuries in this one. Draymond was out, KD was out, so Caspi got the start, and Jordan Bell with the start. And I want to talk about Jordan Bell because he had some amazing plays in this one. A career-high 26 minutes, I believe that's a career-high. 6 blocks, including a chase down, some really athletic blocks. And he's facilitating. He had 4 assists. He had a really great all-around game defensively, offensively. He knew where he was supposed to be. And it was awesome to see him get some time off the pine. Quinn Cook sighting. That guy is working really hard, going up and down from the G League to the NBA. It was nice to see him. Andre, still getting up. Limiting minutes works, people. We can talk about the rest that he's gotten this year and, you know, the fact that he's playing, about 26, 27 minutes a game. He had an amazing putback dunk in OKC as well, but he gets up. He's still getting up at age 33, and I think it says something about the Warriors training staff. It says something about Steve Kerr's rotations, but also about the work that Andre's putting in to make sure that he's ready every single day. It was another bounce-back game for Curry. Nice inside-out game. He had 30 points in the first half, lots of points in the paint. 33 for the game on 10 of 18 and 4 of 11 from 3. He's still iffy from 3. He's not really warming up there. So we're looking forward to seeing a few of those, 10 of 13 or 9 of 15 games that we know he's capable of putting up. But like I said, he was hot. And the second quarter was the hot quarter. Third quarter, they kept it going and ended up by the fourth just creating a laugher out of this game. The Locked On Pod loves former Warriors. Justin Holiday was cited and didn't have a very good game, but we love it when he returns to Oracle Arena. Justin Holiday. Minus 39 in 28 minutes on 6 shots. Not great. But that's what the Warriors will do to a bad team. They'll embarrass everybody defensively, offensively. And the defense in the second and third quarters was really stellar. So like I said, this was a full 48-minute effort on both sides. And because of that, you know what we get? Garbage time. And garbage time for the Warriors is so exciting because you get players like Kevon Looney and Pat McCaw with 15 minutes, and we'll mention Nick Young again because a solid 20 minutes, 3 of 6 from three. He was making all sorts of shots, showing his array of moves in the mid-range. Grabbed 6 rebounds. So, you know, that was a really good game for him to showcase what he can do. 17 points and a plus minus of plus 22. So great game overall for every single dub, and a great way to bounce back from that loss in Oklahoma City. But back to former Warriors, Ian Clark made his first appearance at Oracle this year with the Pelicans and got a standing ovation, a nice little note from Stephen Curry at the beginning of the game, and got his ring. So congrats, Ian, on getting your ring, and we love you. Unfortunately, Ian wasn't wearing one of those snazzy new The Town jerseys on Saturday night. He was in Pelicans red. The Pelicans take the L. And it was always nice when Boogie and his amazing body language come to town. It was another A game from a Warriors opponent. Jrue Holiday with 17 first quarter points. He blitzed Clay, just blitzed him in that first quarter. But you don't expect Holiday to make that many shots in that short a time, especially from three. The Dubs went down 14 to start this game. It was an ugly first quarter, 31-17. Just hard to keep up with the Pels and the way they were playing defense. It was another punch in the mouth in the first quarter. The Dubs are getting used to it, though, because that second quarter blitz, they ended up coming back to tie it at halftime at 53, and this time the second quarter blitz was necessary. The announcers, Bob and Jim, kept saying the Pels would have a better chance beating the Warriors if they slow the ball down to get the bigs going in the paint. That's not really Alvin Gentry's modus operandi. Alvin Gentry being the former Warriors coach, former Suns coach, former Warriors assistant coach, former Suns head coach, and Clippers head coach, and current Pels head coach. He likes to play fast. And honestly, you got to utilize the skills that your players are coming with. It's kind of like the mentality of drafting the best player available when you have a lottery pick. My idea is let the bigs do what they do best, and now that includes runouts, shooting threes, making plays off the dribble, and then design your offense around that. That's not a recipe for beating the Warriors in a 7-game series this year. It could be next year, the year after that, we'll see. But it's a great way to take a game or two in the regular season. And for almost all of the game, the Pels were right there. They got it within 6 points with 4 minutes to go, and it was a really interesting and entertaining game to watch. It was nice to see Andre Iguodala calling his own number with Kevin Durant out. Clay has been hot, moving well without the ball. He shot 12 of 17. And 5 of 9 from 3 versus Chicago. And in this game, he was 9 of 19 from the floor and 4 of 8 from 3 for a really efficient, another just very efficient game, still playing great defense on the other end. And he was a plus 18 in this game, tied with Andre for the highest plus minus of the game. So all in all, two really good games, definitely a better performance versus Chicago, but that's a worse team. I think they showed their resilience against the Pelicans, coming back from 14 down in the first quarter in just a quarter, and then controlling the game from there. So the Warriors are doing Warriors things, and they're now 15-5, which puts them a half game out of first place in the Western Conference behind the Rockets, who are 15-4. Now, I want to get to what you were all waiting for, that OKC game, but first, if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you are wanting to advertise to men between 18 and 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at alicocarter11@gmail.com to find out. Now I want to make a quick note on injuries. It doesn't seem like anything serious, but the Warriors have listed KD with a left ankle, Curry with a right hand, and Dre with a right foot injury as questionable for tonight's game against the Kings at Oracle. The Kings are coming in at 5-14. And Andre has been listed as doubtful with a sore knee. You can expect Kerr to keep all four of these guys out tonight, I think, against the 5-14 Kings at home. If he is going to keep players out, the league has asked him to keep them out at home. I think this is one of those situations where if it was the playoffs, all four of these guys would be playing, except maybe Andre, because that knee has been a real issue. But Andre's been playing so well. He played against the Pelicans, even though he was on the injury report. He had 14 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, nursing that sore knee. But like I said, it doesn't seem like anything to worry about. I'm sure Kerr would have preferred, in hindsight, to have left KD out of that OKC game, but I don't think there was any way that KD wasn't going to play. Still getting boos in OKC. I imagine he'll get boos there for the rest of his career. I really don't get it, but I'm a Warriors fan, so, you know, I'm biased, obviously. Warriors fans didn't boo Baron Davis when he decided to sign with the Clippers and then return. It's obviously a different story, different team, but it's the same idea. When a player spurns you in free agency to go play in greener pastures, it's really nothing to take personally. But I think that OKC has always had a chip on its shoulder. The fans have always had a chip on their shoulder, and they really enjoy booing him. So if that's what gets them up, then hey, keep it up. Back to KD. His defense is still looking great. He used his body and his length so well in that game. We're wondering about his ankle, but I'm sure everything's going to go just fine. He didn't have the best game, though. Only 21 points, only. OKC controlled this one from the start. Held the Warriors to 41% and 32% from three. And I love Billy Donovan's rotations in this one. Extended run for Paul George without Westbrook and Carmelo. And Paul George does everything well, as we discussed in last Wednesday's pod. He can be a primary scorer and facilitator at the same time and still plays stellar defense on the wings and occasionally in the paint as well. But Donovan inexplicably kept his starters in for about 3 minutes after the Warriors threw in the towel in this fourth quarter in the blowout. I'm not sure what that was all about. Maybe it was rewarding them. For whatever reason, it was an odd call, and if I were Kerr, I wouldn't have liked it. Nobody attacks the rim like Westbrook. He had a great game, a few just monster plays, 34 points, I believe 11 assists and 8 rebounds, or maybe that's reversed, I'm not sure. But they forced a ton of turnovers. 22 turnovers for the Warriors to only 22 assists. 6 turnovers from Curry, 4 from Durant, 2 from Draymond, and the Thunder got 33 points off of those turnovers, and 33 fast break points, which is related to GSW's 10. Only 10 fast break points for the Warriors, who lead the league. Obviously, turnovers was an issue with that, but the Thunder, they just controlled the game. They just controlled the game from every side, and I don't know if it was a New York hangover. I'm sure that the Warriors found the time to have a little bit of fun with their extra couple of days layover in New York, but it was just a bad game. It was not a Warriors game, and I think we got a full 48 minutes from OKC, and it felt like 0 minutes from the Warriors. I mean, you know, every now and then they'd come down and Curry or KD would make a three and you'd be like, oh, maybe they're warming up. But no, there was no warm up. Because turnovers just kept, stunting every development. But you can't win them all, especially when every team is giving you their A game. And the Warriors came back with injuries to demolish a bad team and then convincingly beat a good one, while OKC fell to Dallas and Detroit directly after whooping the Warriors in Oklahoma City. Admittedly, I did not watch those games, but it shows yet another team that really gets up for the dubs. And for this team, it's very personal. And then they just didn't get up for the next two teams, it seems. Now, I want to talk about these town jerseys and what they represent, but first... So yeah, the Warriors wore their the town jerseys for the first time this season, a continuation of the slate theme from seasons past. And I mean, they're hot. I mean, you look at the jerseys, they're well designed. The font for the numbers is different than we've ever seen from the Warriors. The Oakland tree has prime placement and the court looked fantastic. I think the town logo looks even better in navy and gold than it does in slate. And they christened those jerseys with a win, which was exciting. But we got to talk about why the jerseys exist in the first place. Residents of Oakland have been waiting for the Warriors to recognize Oakland for the longest time. If you don't know, the Warriors play in East Oakland in an industrial park. And there really isn't that much there. Honestly, there's no shopping, no retail, no place to get a drink after the game. It's a really uninteresting place to go watch a basketball, football, or baseball game, as the Raiders and the A's play right next to the Warriors at the Oakland Coliseum. But it's home, you know, it's home. And for the Warriors, it's been home for a very long time, since 1971, actually, with a few pit stops. They played the 1975 finals in San Francisco at the Cow Palace because I believe it was the Ice Capades were already booked at the Oakland Arena, which was then called just the Arena in Oakland. Obviously, basketball has come a long way, and you could never imagine the Ice Capades taking the place of a finals game in 2018. They also had a quick stop in, I believe, San Jose while the Arena in Oakland was being renovated to expand seating, create suites, etc., etc. So even though the arena was built in 1966 or finished in 1966, it's fairly modern as far as amenities are concerned, as the arena reopened in 1997. There's plenty of nicer arenas out there, but Oracle is a great place to watch a basketball game. Obviously, the Warriors needed a new arena eventually, and obviously, if they were ever going to get good again, they were going to move back to San Francisco, the cultural, financial, and just general center of the Bay Area, where they played from 1962 to 1971. The issue is that the Warriors never fully embraced or acknowledged Oakland, going with the name Golden State ever since they moved to Oakland, and rarely mentioning Oakland in promotional materials. Now, this town jersey is the first time that the team will have officially acknowledged Oakland in almost any capacity, aside from having the two championship parades there and then reluctantly paying the city of Oakland to hold those parades. During the broadcast, Bob Fitzgerald praised the jerseys and the ownership, but wouldn't even still mention that the Warriors play in Oakland. Meanwhile, the San Francisco Arena is going up. It's going to be finished sometime in the next season and a half to open at the start of the 2019-2020 season. Obviously, everyone knows about the Chase Center. It's going to be so exciting. But I'm not a member of Warriors PR. I'm a resident and native of Oakland, so I want to talk about how this affects the Coliseum site. The Warriors are leaving, the Raiders are leaving, and then eventually the A's are going to move to a different site in Oakland, which is inexplicable to me because the Coliseum has everything you could possibly need for a development, and it doesn't displace families. There was a dream in Oakland once called Coliseum City, where all three teams would stay and there would be a transit and apartment-oriented village around three state-of-the-art facilities at the current Coliseum site. And let me tell you why the current Coliseum site is perfect for a sports team, probably the A's after their deal to put a stadium around the Laney College area. I think it's going to fall through. There's just too much public opposition to it. I think they're going to end up back at the Coliseum, and I hope they end up back at the Coliseum, because you've got primary connections to Amtrak, BART, which is the Bay Area Rapid Transit, if you all are not familiar with Bay Area transit, and then the 880 freeway. So the infrastructure is there and the legacy of sports in that area is there. The only thing that's not there is the development. And it's just, honestly, it's in an industrial park. It's a big, big parking lot with a couple of sports facilities. And what they could build anything they want there. I mean, you know, I've been all around the country to all sorts of different sporting facilities, and all the new ones have something to pull fans in. Bars and clubs, apartments, you know, villages. And there is the potential for a Coliseum Village, a sort of Uptown South, that if only the A's decided to abandon their Laney College plans, it could really be a reality in Oakland, and I want it to become a reality in Oakland. But like I said, the Warriors were always going to move to San Francisco. I'm not salty about it. I don't think that fans should be salty about it. There's only one team in the Bay Area, and San Francisco's on the come up. I mean, San Francisco's been on the come up since the first dot-com boom that started in 1998, and it was only a matter of time if the team ever got good. So it's nice to see the town jerseys, but it feels a little too late. It feels a little disingenuous, and obviously it's a great money grab. I'm seeing fans flying from China wearing the town, and they don't even know what it means, what it means to be an Oaklander. Now, I've got plenty more thoughts on Oakland and what can be done to save sports here, but that's my podcast for today. As usual, you can catch me tomorrow. I'll be recapping tonight's game against the Kings, and I hope that everyone has a wonderful day. Catch you later, Hoopsheads.